In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in the church's life, this Sunday, today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, was traditionally called Laetare Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. Laetare in Latin means rejoicing. It's also been called Refreshment Sunday. It's sort of a way station in the middle of Lent when the vestments are no longer purple, but rose tinted traditionally, and there's a little more music. There's flowers on the altar, which are usually not there the other Sundays of Lent, and so forth. So it's a sort of like mid-Lent respite is the idea. And it was called Laetare Sunday because of the ancient entrance hymn or introit for this day from Psalm 122 with its antiphon, Laetare Jerusalem, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be ye glad for her. All ye that delight in her, exult and sing for joy with her. All ye that in sadness mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. I was glad when they said unto me, we will go into the house of the Lord. So that introit is picking up the scriptural image of Jerusalem as the mother of God's children, God's faithful people, faithful Israel. Jerusalem, the mother of Israel, who rejoice with their mother, right? The faithful of God rejoice with their mystical mother and are nourished from the substance of her body. This theme was picked up by St. Paul, especially in the fifth chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, where Paul speaks of the sacrament of Christian marriage as an icon of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his church, the mystical bride. She submitting herself to her husband in obedient service, and he submitting himself to her through the laying down of his life in faithful obedience unto death. Scripture wants us to understand ourselves to have been conceived by that union of Christ and his church, born of the baptismal font, as it were, from the church's womb, emerging wet and anciently even naked. You know, people were baptized nude in the ancient church. So people emerged from the font naked and wet and shivering like an infant from the womb of the church, and sharing in virtue of their new birth the privilege and the responsibility of sons and daughters of God, and not least the responsibility of fidelity to a mother and to a family, and formed new Christians, right? And all Christians formed, as it were, in the lap of our Holy Mother, the Church, dandled upon her knees and satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. These images are picked up again and elaborated in the epistle reading today, as St. Paul further ties it into the story of the two sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael, the son of a house slave, Agar, whose name means immigrant in Hebrew, by the way. So Ishmael, the son of a slave, and Isaac, the son of Abraham's wife, Sarah, a free woman. Paul concludes by telling the Galatians that they, as members of Christ's body, are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And Paul urges them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It was because of these associations that this Sunday was sometimes called Mothering Sunday in the Middle Ages. And indeed, this day, the fourth Sunday in Lent, remains Mother's Day in the United Kingdom and elsewhere in Christendom. Today also happens to be the sixth day in the octave of the Feast of the Annunciation, the day on which the Church commemorates the Archangel Gabriel announcing, right, Annunciation, announcement, Gabriel announcing to the Blessed Virgin Mary that she is to conceive in her womb the Son of God. It's no coincidence, by the way, that the Feast of the Annunciation on March 25th is exactly 9 months before the Feast of Christ's birth or Christmas, right? 9 months of spiritual gestation. It is therefore today, this fifth Sunday of Lent 2025, a most felicitous occasion for having an opportunity to bless and pray for three expectant mothers today. We're going to do that in just a minute. And as we do it, I'd like for us all to take the opportunity to reflect on this symbolism of motherhood, a symbolism that is, let us remind ourselves, intended and established by God in the order of creation and blessed by the church, not least in the marriage rite. That is to say, let us all reflect on how conception and pregnancy, childbearing and child rearing, by the grace of God, are taken up into the heavenly economy and made transcendent, made significant. Even this bare fact that they are divinely significant is a cause for rejoicing with our Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Jerusalem, because it implies that in Christ, for us, nothing whatsoever is arbitrary. That's important to remember when it's 2 a.m. and your child is coughing and sick and has a dirty diaper and all the rest of it. Nothing in God's economy is arbitrary or accidental. Nothing is meaningless for us. Nothing is accidental. But everything points beyond itself and, as it were, over the eastern horizon and towards the dawning of the Sun of Righteousness. You might reflect today on your own mother and give thanks for her, and reflect that none of the good things that you experience and have experienced in your life would you have were it not for your mother. Everything for us in Christ has a purpose. Every life in Christ matters. All are divinely intended for redemption. This truth is not the least of the consolations of the breasts of the heavenly Jerusalem, our mystical mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.